Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And there's still time to see the Drunk Women Solving Crime live in 2019 as they're performing in Manchester at the Salford Lowry and a Christmas extravaganza at London's Leicester Square Theatre. For full details, go to drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
What's the fifth?
It means the right to stay silent in... things.
What's the
the body of local bricklayer. Oh my god. Just I've got so many Italian
my
words to pronounce.
Is.
Yeah. A bricklayer is not an Italian word. Just so you know.
Confession on the electric chair deathbed.
And he claimed that he ate someone's head like an apple.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime, or should I say Drunk Women and One Man Solving Crime.
Yay!
It's November, it's Men's Month, it's our first man on the podcast. Welcome, James A. Caster.
Yes, first man on the moon. Look, what's Men's Month?
Oh, it's International Men's Day on one day in November.
November the 19th.
That's it.
But it's also known as Brovember.
Is it?
Yeah. It's when we raise awareness of all the things that men deal with.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to sound so dismissive. Deal with.
No, fine. No, we have two things. And it's testicular cancer and depression.
Yeah.
And moustaches. Don't forget that.
Well, that helps the testicular cancer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's November, isn't it?
Sorry, that was a
They're not trying to raise awareness of mustaches.
They could have been.
First, we just have to raise awareness of these things in this room. We've got no idea. We just thought we'd have some men on. So, James, thank you.
Also, we've been told that we have to include one every once in a while. It's like a...
Yeah. I've having a bit of token thing. Man. Yeah. It was quite good, actually, being on the other side of things.
Yeah. So, one question for you, James. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one that I remember was, I probably would have been...
The first one that you remember?
Well, I've been a few... You know,
well, it's going to get dark.
Yeah,
it sounds like there's 100.
Yeah, it's not that many. I mean, but like the first one was like, Actually, the first one was probably the biggest one as well. I remember when I was a kid, so probably about 9, 10 or something.
Okay.
And we went for a walk around a reservoir.
As you do.
That was nice.
My heart just sank.
Yeah, like that.
Happens. Good things don't start with "we were near a reservoir."
We didn't discover a body. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like we discovered a body in the reservoir. Yeah. No. That was how we were distracted from what was going on at our house at the time. So we're walking around the reservoir, having a lovely time, and then we get back home.
Oh.
Walk into our house and our TV is not there.
The CD player and all that.
So everything's gone.
Why?
And then, but pretty easy solvable crime because the fence between our house and the neighbours was knocked down.
Oh my God.
And it was the neighbours.
Literally knocked down the fence.
So, I mean, they found it pretty quick because it was like, oh, the fence, because it was a wire fence. It was like a wire fence and it had just been pushed down.
Yeah.
They'd gone into our house. Also, like, you know, the neighbours, my dad knew a couple of them because my dad's a teacher.
Yeah.
He used to teach a couple of them at school. So he chatted to them and knew that, like, you know, it was kind of like a bit of a untoward kind of unsavoury characters in the house. He knew that.
Okay.
We got back. The fence was pushed down, but not torn down. Like they'd lent on it until it went down to the floor. Yeah.
Like how heavy a TV was, kind of leaning.
Yeah, kind of that. Yeah. And
this
then
is back when burglars, though, they had to do some heavy lifting. Modern burglars, no idea. They just don't know what people went through. I'm just throwing that in.
Yeah, this is like
to
90s.
Raise awareness further.
These are 90s proper like grafters. Like you are right. These are like putting the effort in burglars. But obviously, you know, the police were called and it was like, so the fence is down there. So we think that they got through there. And then they go next door and go interview you and then pretty quickly found where they were.
And it was literally still in their house and everything.
No, so like it was basically like, look, we know you've got something to do with it.
Wow.
Just tell us the people who have clearly got this stuff. And we're gonna get the stuff. So it happened pretty quick. Like,
I
can't get over the visual of the fence.
They were in there. I guess they would have been. So I almost said 30s and 40s, but that's definitely not true. Because I was a kid, so they were in their 20s, but I knew people who'd been in their 20s.
It was a decade off when you're a kid.
Have you got anything else? Because you said the first crime. Do you want, if you've got another,
I can actually tell you.
Go on.
When I was, so I would have been 4, maybe 5. And I lived in Banbury for a year. So this is a year that like a lot of kind of like, because I'd gone about being from Kettering a lot of real kind of hardcore people, members of the public, who try and pull me up and go, you're not from Kettering, you lived in Banbury for, but it's a year. I lived in Banbury. So it's 4 or 5. One day, I opened up my lunchbox at lunchtime.
This is
going to
be a good crime.
So before I went to school, I saw my lunchbox and was like, I've got a Tunnock's caramel wafer. That's the best one.
Oh my God, you're allowed those
in
those days.
That's the reason I stayed in the UK.
Sure,
seriously.
Right? That's why you're here. They're good, right?
Oh, they're amazing. Even the way they unwrap, everything about them, just getting in there.
Also, I think that people from the UK, even though we like them, don't appreciate them as much as people from outside the UK. Like, I think that's, I think you appreciate them more because there actually isn't much
like
it. Because
I'm an immigrant and I've had a harder life.
You've had a harder life, yeah.
In the US.
I feel very sorry for you. Yeah. But like, outside of the UK, there's nothing, I haven't found anything quite like it that's like that kind of, it's pretty great.
I'm going to have to buy one very soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on. Don't tell me that was stolen.
I saw it go into the lunchbox that morning, excited about it. Lunchtime, I open up my lunchbox. It's not there.
Outrageous.
So I'm pretty gutted about that. Then me and a girl in my class teamed up and became detectives for the day.
Nice.
Amazing.
And we tried to find who had stolen the Tonics caramel wafer. And
telltale brown fingers. I know.
But here's the amazing thing, and I didn't think it was amazing at the time because it had been the first time I'd ever tried to be a detective. So I didn't appreciate the fact that detectives don't always get their man.
Right,
but
right.
We absolutely cracked it and we did it. Whoa, so okay. Like what we were looking for chocolates, we're asking people.
God.
And we're proper like we're detectives. It wasn't like we're trying to figure out like we're actual detectives and we're finding this out. And we asked people around and someone said, I think I saw, here's the mental thing. I remember his name.
Everyone told
him. I haven't seen him since, like, I knew him for less than a year, this kid, but his name was Anthony. And I remember people going, I saw Anthony with one of those turns.
And it was really good. Anthony's your guy.
I remember a really distinctive visual memory of being underneath a bench finding the rapper.
Whoa.
Like, I remember being like,
hard evidence.
We got the rapper from the kid. And it was like a big thing of like, we've got it. Like, I said, we're going to send it for Dusty for Prince or something. But like, we found it. Like, it's definitely someone in the school has eaten
amazing.
It. Like, it's not like it's fallen out in the wider school or somebody's got it. Like, someone in this school has got it.
It's circumstantial, but it's real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got this guy and we confronted him. We confronted him after school. So it was like, because it was like, we knew you can't confront him like just one on one.
The jurisdiction of the teachers.
But like after school, I'm with my mum, Siobhan, who I think I mentioned to you before the podcast started, but she was with her mum. Anthony's with his parents, and we were just like, Anthony, straight away. Someone saw you eating a Tonics caramel wafer. I don't think you had that in your lunchbox this morning. And his mum's like, I didn't pack you that. And we're like,
oh,
you completely got him. And we were like, we did it. And like, obviously the parents were like, parents like, let's all go home and stop yelling at each other. But me and Siobhan were like, we did it, we did it. We found him. And obviously, because it's like you're five, the next day it's like nothing's ever happened. So you're on the next day and it's like, you don't, hey, actually, how's it going?
Yeah.
Have a good night last night. Good to see you, man. And you're fine. But at the time, it was like, we're going to fucking destroy this kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
Most important thing ever.
Was Siobhan just the best
amazing.
Mate? Or was there something about her that you're like, I got to work with this?
Siobhan, she's gonna be the best I've got sidekick. A very complex history with Siobhan in the space of a year. So like, so first of all, Siobhan, there's a story I've told other stuff before, but like when I...
Just a reminder, he's five. I'm very complex.
Yeah. It's really complex.
Span of the year.
So, this school, you had to bring your own towel into school.
Nate, me too. I had that. And I read your book. And at the beginning, it said, nobody knows what this is. And I was like, yeah, no, I know that.
Well, you're the first person I've ever met.
There you go. Yeah, we had it. We had it.
I've read your book and we didn't have to bring our own towels. And I was like, yeah, that's weird.
I always forgot my towel.
Yeah.
Always.
I forgot my towel once. Oh. And on the one day that I forgot my towel, I wiped my soapy hands on Siobhan's coat. Right? Not while she was wearing it. It was hanging up.
Yeah.
But I panicked, did it on that. I didn't know that soapy like hands leave streaky soap marks. I didn't know that anyone would trace it back to me. It got traced back to me. I had to clean her coat. As I was cleaning her coat, she kind of like said thank you to me and I burst into tears because I felt so bad about like, I don't deserve a thank you because I've been the bad guy. Right? Then I become her friend because we're like, now I obviously want
you're
to like
bonded.
Her. She feels bad that I've cried like a little wimp while cleaning her coat. So like, we become friends. The next thing that happens is we crack the case of the Tonic Spa together.
What
so we do that together.
God,
and that's like a
big
moment.
Yeah.
And then she leaves school. So she leaves before her parents are moving away. And I said to Katie and Hannah beforehand, but like before on her last day of leaving, I turned round to her in registration, and what I wanted to do, I wasn't good at. So we were talking about before this podcast, we're talking about the moment where you start feeling shame in life, and I think we're all talking about it. I can't remember how many people were involved in this conversation now, but like we were all there because you really liked
it's
it.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I will like it again.
Yeah. I can't tell it again. We all heard it.
Yes, you can.
Katie wasn't here.
Fucking hell.
Oh, my God.
I'm way drunker than I think I am. I thought I was drunk, but I didn't know I was drunk as I am. Absolutely smashed that I can't remember everyone. I can remember two people in the room. and they just gone straight for that.
It's really funny.
It is a sweet story, though. So this is the moment that you first, apart from...
the first time where I realised, like, that I, as a person, should be ashamed of
this
myself.
This sounds like a sad story if it's the first time you felt shame.
Every single one of my stories is a sad story.
This is why that I is cry. Like, what a,
come why, on. In a minute, we're gonna. A guy jumps off a bridge, so we're gonna get to that.
Oh, that's like, fine. Yeah.
You're fine. Go for it.
I turned around. So it was her last. Siobhan's last day of school. Obviously, she meant a lot to me. We cracked the case of the tonics bar together, and she'd forgiven me for the coat incident. It's the last day.
Yeah, you're basically the ex-con that she hired on the force. Like, I'm going to take a chance.
Yeah.
I can see you trying to be a good guy. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm a bit of a bad boy. But like, she, the last day, and in registration, I turned around, and what I wanted to do was do some Looney Tunes impressions for her. So I thought that she would appreciate the Looney Tunes impressions. I think they were funny, and she would like them. And also, I think every comic has a story about the kid in school who was funnier than them that made them become a comedian.
Ooh.
Because they were like, I gotta be that kid. And I think this was the moment for me.
Interesting.
So like, I was like, I'm gonna turn around and tell Siobhan some Looney Tunes impressions, and she will think it's great, and she'll take that away with her, and it's her last day, and that's great. I turned around and said, hey Siobhan, and then a girl called Rachel went, I love you, like that, which is so much funnier. Like,
oh my God.
Making out that I, as a 5-year-old, was on the last day of Siobhan's school, going to turn around and go, hey, Siobhan, I love you. It's really funny. Like, and immediately I was embarrassed. And then, like, and then I still committed and did the impression. So I still went, beep, beep, what's up, doc? Really, like, panicked. And then, like, and then it was, and I turned back round and I felt like, oh God, I can never come into school again. This is awful.
Oh,
I mean, luckily,
God.
Like we moved to Kettering the next year. Like,
I was born. Luckily, we moved to Kettering.
Well, it might have been. Yeah, I might have said to my parents, "We need to." Like, I've had a Looney Tunes snafu at school. We need to fucking leave. But like, I've been in Kettering until I was like whatever, 3 or 4. Moved to Banbury for a year, and then right back to Kettering after that.
Now what a year!
But also, I was such a reserved kid. When going back to Kettering, like, oh. I didn't ever put myself. I remember in Kettering, someone, it was their birthday when I was 5. So this is like, I'm definitely 5.
Five.
I was in Miss Riddington's class. I was in Miss Riddington's class for a week or 2 weeks. So it's like I just joined at the end of term.
Yeah.
And it was someone's birthday. I think Charlotte Smith's birthday.
Okay.
And she like, and it was her birthday, and we all sang happy birthday, and at the end Neil McClarty went, 3 cheers for Charlotte, hip hip, and everyone did it. And I remember standing there going, I don't know how he's done that. Like, I don't know how that kid, I was 5, but I was like, I don't know how he's been that confident to do that, and everyone's gone with it, and he's just not a part of him is going home going, I can't believe I did that shit. Like, he's fine with it.
Oh, I love 5-year-old you so much. That's
brilliant.
Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I copied Neil McClarty a lot through
college. You're like channeling.
Do you know where Siobhan is now?
I don't have no idea where Siobhan. I don't even know Siobhan's surname.
Gotta find Siobhan,
like,
guys.
I think we can find it. It's Miss Andrew, Mrs. Andrew's class. So
in
it's
Banbury Primary School.
Queensway Primary School in Banbury. I would have been. It's been 1999 or something like that.
We need to make this happen.
It's can great. I go for a wee before we do the?
Yeah, sure.
The
now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Okay, so our crime today concerns a murder, a bridge, and a spiritual possession. On February 13th, 1936, the body of local bricklayer. Oh my God. I've got so many Italian my words to pronounce this.
Yeah, a bricklayer is not an Italian word, just so you know.
No, I grew up in a Blick house.
Giuseppe Veraldi was found under the Morandi Bridge in the city of Catanzaro, Italy. The body was in bad shape and had a large wound to the head. So immediately, he's found at the bottom of the bridge. What do we think happened here? What do you think the police think happened?
He fell.
Okay.
No, they're trying to make it look like it.
Is it a pedestrian bridge?
Pushed off the bridge.
Pushed off the bridge.
Or
is it a pedestrian bridge or a vehicular bridge?
It's both. I think you can walk or drive.
Well, see, those are always a bad idea.
Gone.
Because accidents happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
wrong lane.
I think
that's all I'm saying.
Their body was moved.
Oh, okay. Immediately.
Already, I think the body was moved.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
But they suspected homicide.
No, this is the thing. I wish James had been on the police force in the 1930s in Italy.
Tonics.
Because because the police just thought it was suicide. The bridge was often called Suicide Bridge due to the large number of people who jumped off.
That's a good murder place. It's like, another suicide, mate.
Well, never call anything suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing it for them.
Like Suicide Squad. Terrible.
Yeah.
When case in point.
Performed awfully.
So police examined the body, ignored a lot of evidence, and decided that Giuseppe Pepe Veraldi and his companions of the night before had drunk too much, and that on his way home, Pepe had jumped to his death from the bridge.
Ignored a lot of evidence.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of stuff on, like, the way he landed.
That sounds bruises. Bad. Like,
yeah,
and there's nothing to back that up, right? He's just drunk and kills himself. No one gets drunk and goes, I tell you what I'll do.
Kill It'd myself be hilarious for no reason. If I kill myself.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone, this was it. Watch this!
The puzzling question was why, because Pepe seemed to be doing very well in life, and no one could imagine why he would commit suicide. Pepe's family always challenged this official explanation, crying murder, but police held their stance.
Crying.
Crying murder. Yeah. Wah, wah.
So they said it was suicide and...
Very callous.
But yeah, that was the end of that until 3 years later. One morning in January of 1939, Maria Tallarico, a 17-year-old from the city, was walking across the same bridge. About halfway across, she suddenly stopped, walked over to the side from which Pepe had allegedly jumped. And what do you think happened?
Fell? She fell?
Oh, first of all, I love it when it's like 3 years later. Like, I really am excited about how, like... Because it's like, oh, it's just a suicide, it's fine. And then something happened.
Da, da, da.
This is great. Like, this already, I love whatever she spotted.
It's a jump cut.
Maybe she spotted that you couldn't jump to your death from that angle.
Ooh, it's too like high. The fence is too high or something.
Okay. Any thoughts, Taylor?
No.
So, what happened next is she mysteriously fainted. And several people were nearby and promptly arranged for Maria to be carted home. Once in her own home, she was put to bed and her mother called a doctor, Dr. Giovanni Scambia. When she awoke, she initially seemed to be herself until she spoke. What do you think happened when she spoke?
What the fuck?
Different voice. She was channeling the guy who was dead.
No.
Who's the dead guy's name?
Pepe.
I mean, just for instance, it might have sounded...
Pepe the Prawn is probably the best Muppet character ever. Can we talk about that? No, is that too much of a tangent? Yeah, it probably is.
Can you do an impression?
No, but he's such a good.
He's, Pepe the Prawn is like so underrated as a Muppets character.
Can you do him?
No, but like, you know? Yeah, he
do
was
it,
like,
do it.
I can't do it, but like, it was like,
we just pop up.
There's never enough of him. There. Yeah, like yeah. He was in Muppets Tonight, which was like the show when I was a kid for the Muppets, and then he like popped up in like Treasure Island and stuff like that. But he's such a good character. But like,
give him his own movie, maybe.
Yeah, they should give him his own movie because he's not used enough. But
we need to find Siobhan and give him
his own movie. Oh, Siobhan, if you're listening.
It's like such a to-do list from this podcast.
Yeah.
So instead of her usual voice, she spoke in a rasping male voice and told those present that she wanted to speak to her mother. When Maria's mother rushed to her bedside, Maria scorned her and said in the voice, which of course I'm going to do, "You're not my mother."
Papa Lazarus, yeah.
You're my wife. You're not my mother. My mother lives in Barreche Street in Canzaro, and her name is Katharina. I am Pepe.
Oh, come on.
Next question. At this stage, where are we all sitting with this?
I'm anti the ghost possession excuse.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I would support that. No?
But I love that you look to say, like, Taylor's about to say something really clever that I'm going to agree with.
Yeah, well, you look like...
Yeah, and the last time I went, no, I have no
You thoughts. Put your finger to your lips like you're about to say something clever, so I was
also,
like...
I do all the body language.
I just realised I was about to say something dumb because you
James,
did that.
James, you are right. She's the cleverest one.
Really?
Yeah.
I can test that, but...
Yeah.
Sustained. I think that here we are in a country. Wait, do we even know what year this is?
1936.
Yes, we do. But okay, we're in a very superstitious country.
Yep.
Where this mm-hmm. is a way that you can be heard. So this girl knows something about this case, and she knows this is the way.
Oh, what, to you really think get she's pretending but, to try yes, and?
But when did she say this? When she got revived?
Well, yeah, this is when she came round.
You got me
thinking.
Fucking on it. Like, I would have to be on a bridge. Have already done my research about a murder on that or a suicide on that bridge or whatever. Be faint, be brought round, and then in that moment, go. I'll riff on that stuff you read. Like, yeah. it would be really hard.
I don't know if she's really political. No, it's very easy to faint.
Sure. But so. Do you mean that she faked the fainting and then faked the character?
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, there's more to come, so let's...
To be fair, it's
like, I don't think she's trying to be a good Samaritan. I think this is some attention seeking.
Yeah.
I think she thought 3 years later.
Yeah.
I know.
I've been won over by that, because to be fair, it's like, you know, like my explanation has no explanation, so it doesn't work. So yeah. Mine's like, oh, that's interesting. How could she know that? But then you fake the fainting, and it's pretty easy to fake a faint, right?
Look, don't doubt yourself, Tonic.
Well, I'm going to have a lot of doubts. I mean, what alcohol does is make me doubt myself. So, like, I mean, I'm the worst detective to be drunk on. Like, I could be a good sober detective, but I think drunk, I'd just be like, no, you're probably right. I'm full of shit. I mean, I let everyone go. I don't know what's going on.
But oh my God, don't worry. I'm really drunk. Okay, so, but it's important to note that Maria had no knowledge, in theory, of the death of Giuseppe Veraldi. Bearing in mind, she is 17, so she would have been 14 when this happened.
17?
Wow. Yep, she was 17. Wow. And apparently nor did any of her family members. So after the shock of her voice had worn off, one of the neighbours ran to fetch Caterina, which is Pepe's mum, with a note from Pepe that read, "Dear Mother, if you want to see me, I am your poor son, Pepe." What do you think about it was about the letter that made Caterina come running?
The handwriting? Oh, similar?
Caterina, the mum?
Yeah. Pepe's
was mind. It the handwriting?
It was the handwriting. Apparently, it was exactly Pepe's handwriting. Yeah.
Wow.
That's annoying,
that's
isn't it?
Because
that's too.
Yeah, but maybe he wrote in like really shitty.
He wrote like Comic Sans.
So, yeah.
yeah.
He had little hearts above his eyes.
It's fine.
The what year is this?
1936.
The 1930s version of Comic Sans.
No, I'm not saying literally Comic Sans. I mean, like this guy preempted Comic Sans.
Sorry, I talked over you. Were you just checking that out? Like, did you just check the year to see if that font existed?
Kind of.
Kind of Sans didn't exist in 1936. So you guys are full of shit.
It's all a bit of fun.
So I love you so much.
So this is when it kind of gets, for me, gets quite funny. So whilst they were out fetching Pepe's mother, Pepe, i.e. Maria, asked for two things. What did she ask for?
A glass of water.
That's what you want.
I'm gonna drink some water right now, you guys.
What does she want?
She's
want?
Pepe. What does Pepe want?
What does Pepe want?
So, okay. Hold on. So Pepe's asked for two things before his mum comes out.
Yeah, so the mum has been sent for. So she's not there yet, but she's come round. He's come round as Maria.
Yeah.
And Pepe is asking for something.
A gap year in France?
Oh, yeah.
His mum's scones.
His mum's scones?
I mean, all I know about him, so like he was out with his mates. He jumped off a bridge, allegedly. And, but if we're going by which is more plausible, is that this young lady is faking it for a laugh, then it's probably some quite bling stuff, right, that she's asked for.
Yeah, is it money?
Whoa. It's essentially, I mean, I'll tell you what it is. Essentially, it's wine and cigarettes.
I was going to say Ouija brilliant. Board, but that's way like a teenager taking the piss.
Yeah. And also, if you've already... Yeah. Manage to channel your spirit through a dead person. Then you've done. You don't need a
Ouija
board.
We've got this.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing you need.
Yeah.
That's like, adorable.
Yeah,
that's so teen.
I'd like some wine and cigarettes, please.
Yeah.
So they gave her wine and cigarettes.
Oh my god!
It's just two things that, according to her parents, she'd never had before. And she smoked and drunk and asked if anyone wanted to play cards. So word had got around town by now and several neighbours had come around to see what was happening. And Pepe asked four men if they wanted to play. So to humour her, they agreed.
Wait, Pepe in quotes.
Yeah, Pepe in quotes, yeah.
She's being Pepe.
It's Maria. Yeah, Maria is Pepe.
But, I mean, is she? So far...
We don't know. We don't know for
sure. She's
kind
of naming this. I don't want to be completely...
Could we refer to them as Mepe? Just because I keep getting confused.
Yes.
Mepe, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Paria sounds like a disease, so let's go that way.
So they
can't... No cheesecake for me. I got a bit of the Paria. I think it's parasitic. It's Perea.
But here's my friend Mepe. I like them.
Everybody loves Mepe. Yeah, Mepe is the best.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh my God, Mepe.
Everyone loves Mepe.
Never shits himself.
Which is what, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's how I identify my friends.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
This person never shits themselves, this person has once.
So these four guys sit themselves around the table and she gives each of them names. Rosario, Toto, Luigi, Demonio.
Oh, I love her so much, or him, whatever.
Yeah. Sounds like he's just making up Italian names, but...
Toto is like... Oh, that's too...
That's the Wizard of Oz. The dog in The Wizard of Oz got paid more than...
Judy Garland.
The dog got paid more than Judy Garland, I swear to God.
As someone that loves dogs, I'm like totally for that. That's fine.
Yeah, you're all right with that. Yeah. Your dog is the mop dog, so yeah. That's fine. Yeah. But like you're...
Okay.
I mean, that's not on, is it?
Judy Garland was on drugs and shit, right?
They gave her those drugs, but yes,
they
she did.
They employed her. They employed her. Employed.
Yeah.
So,
and the Wizard of Oz even come out in 1936? I can't remember what year.
Yeah,
it was
released. Like 1930 something.
I'm not saying that
influences. I thought it was
39. So why
this is
do
like the influence of Wizard of Oz this time?
Yeah, yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
Why do you think the names are relevant?
Huh?
So the names are relevant in some
way. Oh, what are the names again?
So it's Rosario,
are they
Toto, Luigi.
Are they the killers?
Rosario, yeah. Dawson, Toto the band, Luigi the plumber.
Damiano.
Damiano, don't know, anyone called Damien?
Damien.
The devil.
It's ideal. Well, what it was is those were the names of the four men who had been playing cards with him the night he died.
This is pre-internet, right?
Yeah.
It's pre-internet. Am I right in that? I'm okay to say that. But like, how the fuck is she finding that out?
I know. This whole case.
Yeah, actually.
No, we could fucking con anyone now.
Like, in terms of her resources.
Yeah.
This looks very spooky for these people.
It's super.
Because she does not have Google.
No. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, that's fucking spooky.
Yeah.
What's her relationship to Pepe anyway? Are these family's friends?
Absolutely nothing.
No connection at all.
And when Pepe's
like,
mother...
quote unquote nothing or actually nothing?
Genuinely nothing. I couldn't find anything.
I think
that
this is
them.
The world's first method actress.
Yeah, I mean, how has she even done?
It's insane.
Like, she needs drama club.
It gets
really
weirder.
Bad.
It gets okay. weirder. So when okay. Pepe's mother, Caterina, arrived, she was totally freaked out as she said the voice coming from Maria was indeed Pepe's. So Pepe told her that he did not, in fact, commit suicide that night. He had been murdered by a friend of his named Luigi Marchetti and three others following an argument over a woman. Do you think the people in the room believed him?
No. Yes. No.
Yes.
Are people saying it are women, so I'm going to say they don't believe it.
Ooh. But it's Mepe.
Oh, yeah, it's Mepe.
Everybody believes Mepe.
They don't call them Mepe.
You
call them that in your 2019 mind.
Yeah.
2019 mind. But
people
like,
don't believe women.
Well, not initially. Yeah.
So far, I haven't believed a word of her on this podcast. It's a bunch of shit and I'm going along with it, but like
this is why women fake possession though, because then you are heard, because then it's like, well, it's not, it's divine intervention, we have to listen even though it's coming through that talk piece. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
They tested him mm-hmm. Mepe. What do you think they did? What do you think the test was?
Just things that only Pepe would know.
Do they show, yeah, like objects and shit, like Dalai Lama shit.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great, by the way.
Oh my God,
the Dalai Lama stuff is so fucking hilarious
shit.
Compared to what happened recently. Like, that whole Dalai Lama shit, like, the Dalai Lama stuff with the whole, like, for first of all, the whole, like, would you be open to a woman version? immediately that's like, oh, it's a pile of shit. Because like, the fact that there hasn't even been a woman reincarnation of it so far means it's a pile of shit. Yeah. Like, the fact that you're catching up with wokeness is not, like, you can't be catching up with the fucking rest of us. Like, if you're... Anyway.
You can't be a leader, it's true, it's true.
That whole thing is hilarious.
It
is.
Oh,
that
my
video
gosh.
Is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. It's just a drunk man in a pub being asked, what do you think about chicks? And he's like, ha! It's so funny.
It's literally
so
that.
Funny.
Oh my god.
But like, he doesn't...
And it's so upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. It, of course it's upsetting. Like, not for me, I'm a guy. But like, yeah, for you, it must be very, very sad.
Like, I would meet, like, Buddhists, and they'd be like, yeah, I'm really pissed off with Joanna Lumley because, you know, she just gets there and it's like, it's not actually for her. Like, it's like, she's not even a proper Buddhist.
Yeah.
Because he's like so great. And like, he just had to meet her because she's a celebrity and didn't even want to meet her. And then it's like, oh, actually he thinks you should look fucking attractive and where are your heels?
Yeah.
And it's that like, video is so, like,
when he does the face. Oh my God. The whole thing is just like, it's just like, it is literally a guy who was like in Kettering where I grew up. Yeah. Like, it's not an enlightened man.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They decided to put it to the test. They selected a photograph of the sister of Pepe, whom Maria had certainly never seen. Pepe's brother-in-law brought the picture to Maria's bedside, and the moment the picture was unwrapped, Maria grabbed it and called the girl by her name. She even recounted a little family incident in which Pepe and the sister had been involved years before.
What?
So she, like, knew shit. She knew shit about Pepe's relationship with the sister.
But how did she know that?
Exactly.
So there's more people what I don't in like. On this. See, I refuse to believe the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just like, there's more people in on it, or it's like...
What were our upbringings like? So I was raised Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What were you?
Same.
Cause I feel like...
So you're extra skeptical.
I felt like I was more willing to believe that because of that.
Oh.
And that I thought, oh, you must be like raised more rationally than me. Because, like, I was like, oh, fuck, it must be... I think it's still a part of me that wants to go, oh, yeah, that ghost is real.
No, although, like,
interesting,
there is something
though.
To that. Mm. Yeah, okay. Because I was raised in a very rational way, so that sort of superstitious stuff wouldn't have been...
Mm. Yeah. Well, my dad's a chemistry teacher, so we were raised to believe that evolution's real and that, like, God is real. But I still would probably, myself... really push towards trying to be convinced more.
Okay.
Although I'm not anymore.
It is interesting,
but like,
though,
because that is interesting.
This story feels like every single time I found more and more information about it, I was like, ooh, it feels kind
that
of real.
That part really trips me up because there's other stuff that it's like, well, you could get that information.
Okay,
but
so
how
they
would you
asked,
find out about it?
Could you
member?
Wait, what year is this? 1930s?
1938.
You couldn't get it that easily.
She knows stuff about. The family.
Yeah, she knew who the sister was, who she would never have seen. They didn't say in the articles that I read why she never would have seen her. I don't know if she moved away or... But anyway, they were more convinced and asked Pepe, or Mepe, to explain what happened on the night he was murdered. So without hesitation came the reply. We were at a tavern. Toto Domenio, oh my God, Luigi Rosario and me. They played cards, I drank wine. After I was drunk, they began to put things in the wine. Then they took me to a place near the bridge. Two of them, Toto and Luigi, held me and shoved me through a hole in the wall. Then Rosario came through and bit me on the head. Don't know what that was.
What? That's a left turn. Someone bit someone on that. There was
it's
a guy.
It's really hard to bite a head.
There was a guy who used to come down to my school called Psycho John. Right? And like that was his nickname, was Psycho John. And he claimed that he ate someone's head like an apple. And like that was a thing that I remember hearing as a kid.
Oh,
and like he told us he'd eaten a guy's entire head. And we asked him what it tasted like. And he said it was like eating an apple. And like, and I remember that bit. And his nickname was Psycho John. It was his nickname. Oh, and like that was a thing. But like
that is amazing.
That's what that reminds me of. That so feels like
that
Psycho
is
John and the apple. Eating the man's head like an
he
apple.
He ate the entire thing.
He ate his whole head.
Like, because I remember Psycho John maybe took one bite.
He ate a whole head.
God,
of a guy.
That is too crazy.
And we said, what was that like? I think it was tasted. No, eating an apple.
Did he just leave a core?
Yeah, he says, like, eating an apple.
Brain.
John, the Psycho John.
I bet he's dead, actually.
Oh, he's got to be.
Was it Psycho John?
Psycho John
not
is actually
John
what,
the Psycho.
Yeah, I don't know what I said earlier on, but it's definitely called
Psycho John.
I think I get sober, but I'll be like, his name is John the Psycho or Psycho John. Bit like an apple. It was such a... It was because I always hang out with the smokers, even though I never smoked. I've still never smoked a cigarette to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never tried it?
Wow.
Never tried a cigarette, never tried weed, but I was hanging out with the potheads in school with my friends. So, like, I'd always hang out every lunchtime at the smokers, like, little kind of, like, enclave.
Sure.
And then Psycho John would come down there and tell us about biting people's heads off.
How old was Psycho John?
He was fucking old. I reckon he was back then. You know when you're a kid and you meet someone like that and you go, oh, that's an adult, he's pretty cool. And, yeah. And then you get to this age, you go, he's my age now.
That's really creepy.
So like, I think he probably would have been in his 30s and telling teenagers that he bites heads like they're apples. And like, you know, if I was doing that now, I'd be very concerned about myself.
Yeah. Yes. It's not a good look on anyone.
A little goatee beard and little spiky hair.
Oh my, was it Darren Brown?
It was Darren Brown, actually. You know what? It was Darren Brown and none of it happened. Darren Brown is fucking irresponsible. Like, the amount of times the Darren Brown episodes end with like people getting interviewed and going, do you know what? I've realised that actually from now on I'm going to be more assertive, and Darren's really made me realise this. And what he's done during that episode is convince them to push someone off of a building.
Yeah.
And like, actually, they're going to be affected by that for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And they're going to think, oh yeah, I'm more assertive now, but actually, for the rest of their life, they're thinking, I killed someone once. There was a point in my life where I genuinely thought I was killing someone, and I did it. And what does that say about me?
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just...
What?
Yeah,
okay,
maybe that's the key to cracking this case.
That is a good point.
So back to what Mepe was saying. And then Mepe said, they then carried me under the bridge and Luigi struck me with a piece of iron. I could not help myself. There was 4-1 and I had drunk 24 glasses of wine.
Whoa.
Is that what a dying person says? I'm just not buying this acute testimony, you know?
Do you know what? The 24 glasses of wine.
Like, if it was like the whole thing, it'd be like, ah, fuck, ah, they're hitting me, ah, ah. It wouldn't be like,
it's not
oh,
as she's living it. It's not as it's happening.
But still.
It's not like via satellite link up,
like,
right?
It wouldn't be like, oh, I had 25 glasses of wine and then they hit me. Boo-hoo me.
So after this explanation, what do you think Maria did, or Mepe did, involves leaving the house?
She left the house.
Yeah.
Went to the bridge.
Yes.
Went to the bridge.
Tunnocks on it.
Went to the bridge.
Come on. I'm going to unwrap this case like my favourite chocolate bar.
So many layers to this case.
Gonna chew over them for a
bit. Especially good to the English people.
I think she went to the bridge.
Yep.
And maybe like walked out the whole crime, like where here's where everything happened.
Yeah. Do you know what
she acted it out?
She sort of acted out
because she wanted to be an actress.
But yeah, so those from Maria's household followed her, and when Pepe's mother arrived, because she was lying under the bridge in the place where Pepe was found, and Pepe's mother arrived, and she ordered her son's spirit to leave Maria.
She ordered it.
Yeah, she ordered. She was like, Pepe.
She's not James Woods. She's not an exorcist.
She wants to be.
Do you think Pepe listened to his mum?
No.
No,
his mother did not solve the crime.
Pepe is done with his mother.
His mum did not solve the crime.
She did not. But no. Pepe's work was done. So Pepe, he went.
Oh, he obeyed his mother. Yeah. He was gone.
Oh, she's in on it. Oh, she's been colluding with this teenager because she, okay, she's always suspected foul play, right? And she finally found a pawn, a girl who wants to be an actress in the neighborhood, and it's never going to happen because she's in the middle of bumblefuck Italy. And the war is about to begin, and they don't even know that, but,
That's very Mussolini's
doing stuff, though.
That's incredible.
Collusion. So, the mother, who knows more about Pepe than his mom? Nobody. It's an Italian mother. She knows everything. So, she's like, this is the sister, and I'm going to bring in the picture. And
so, she's in on it. She's in on it.
Sounds like, I mean, that's, surely that's it.
I mean, that's, not bad.
I can't bow down really to that.
Come up with anything better than that. That's like.
So, what happened?
That's
amazing, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to hear anything. That's such a perfect ending. I don't want to hear anything else.
Can we ask, though, is this a cold case or is this...
No.
Okay.
So, Maria instantly...
No, is the mother a murderer?
It's warm.
Well...
It's war rules.
Do you think Maria remembered anything of what happened?
Well, officially, no.
I think she said, yeah.
Yeah. That's the story, right?
Repeating, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the playbook.
Yeah, she remembered nothing from when she had initially fainted on the bridge. Pepe's mother went to the police, but without actual evidence, they didn't reopen the case into Pepe's death. So the story would have ended
weird.
Here.
Sorry.
But there was a letter sent to Pepe's mother 9 years later.
By me. just so you know, I'm actually involved in this case.
Who do you think it was from?
James Acaster.
So, hold on. So it's okay. I've got to get my head straight. So I don't know. But so Maria's been involved in it. Pepe's dead. Mm. She's.
There are multiple. Who sent
her a letter 9 years later?
Someone sent her a letter.
Was it signed no Pepe? Idea.
No.
No.
Mepe.
We made that up. Like, oh.
But they could.
It was from one of the suspects. It was from Rosario or Denario or.
It was.
Gugari.
Toto.
It was from Luigi the Machete.
Luigi. No. Said every other name.
If your name's Luigi Machete, you're a fucking murderer. Like, I don't care what you've done in your life.
What's that about?
Yeah, come you're on. Clearly a murderer.
You can actually picture the mafia being like, no, it's too obvious. So you're going to have to chit. No,
people different. No.
Do you know what?
It's too on the nose, Luigi. We can't. No.
For any.
My brother, Mario Tommy Gun. He's a good guy.
Don't but judge him.
Any listeners that want to know just how wrong I've pronounced it, it's spelled Marchete. So it's.
Oh.
Yeah. Marchette.
You dragged us all into that. We've all said Machete, you know?
So, it's from Luigi Machete, the man who Pepe had accused of killing him. And what do you think it said?
I didn't kill him.
I did it. There's a confession.
Taylor's saying it's a confession. You're saying I didn't do it.
If it was a confession, my mind would explode over all of you. But, like, I think...
Just
I
like mean, Psycho mate, John's yeah. Applehead.
Get ready to eat some apple. some apple sauce is about to spray over all of you guys. I think he was like, he had some evidence that was like, we weren't there. But, like,
okay.
Maybe not. Interesting.
Katie?
Well, I just wanted to say, how do you like them apples?
Yeah, he's seen Goodwill on it, and he
was like ahead of his time. And
that's what they got it for.
They were like, let's use this.
You see, I saw Jane Silent Bob Strike Back after I saw, I saw Goodwill Hunting.
Oh!
So yes. They got a reference to Goodwill Hunting in that film before they've even done
and
it.
And how did you feel about that?
Because I thought it was great, and then I saw Goodwill Hunting, and I was like, oh, I get it.
I feel the same about
it. So then maybe it's like that, like yes. What Kate is saying.
Like, I saw
Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. I still thought it was funny, and then I watched Goodwill Hunting. I thought, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Maybe even further back, there was this case,
and he quoted
Goodwill Hunting, and it made sense.
There's going to be a case the minute they're going to have talking in films.
Yeah,
and we're on board. And hello, everybody, like that. What he just said, but basically that.
I did that with Wayne's World. I watched Wayne's World before I seen The Graduate, And then I saw The Graduate, and I was
Graduate. Wayne's World is the best film in the whole world.
It is incredible. So back to this, guys.
I actually want to change my think it was a confession.
Who is your suspect?
I think Luigi was angry with one of the other guys and threw him under the bus and said, like, it's Rosario.
Interesting. Okay. So Luigi.
Seriously, because, like, so is that your now suspect? Is, like, opportunist Luigi, or Luigi did it, or Luigi didn't do it, but he saw an opportunity? Like, who is the suspect?
What would the opportunity be 9 years later? This is weird.
Like, it's getting attention. This person is claiming to be clairvoyant.
Yeah.
How much attention?
But 9 years later.
Was he getting a lot of attention?
He got quite a lot of attention. What's interesting is I don't know whether, because Luigi had sent this letter from Argentina where he'd moved shortly after Pepe's death. So I don't even know if Luigi had any idea of what had happened with Maria. But he confessed to killing Pepe.
What?
He did.
Everywhere!
Never retract. Never fucking retract, Detective Glenn. Is there nothing you've learned?
Yeah, he confessed to killing Pepe in an argument over a woman. He said three other men helped him to commit the crime, Toto, Demanio, and Rosario. Why do you think Luigi chose right now to admit to his crimes?
He was on his... It was deathbed confession. Catholic.
Deathbed. Confession on the electric chair deathbed.
Confession in the electric chair deathbed? Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say it was in the news.
James?
Well, I was going to think that he heard the Testament and he believed in that stuff and he thought, oh, that must be true. No.
It was Taylor's right. Well, sort of right. It was sent posthumously. So he died and the letter was sent after he died.
But how do we know he wrote it?
Well, I mean, armed with this new evidence, Pepe's mum went to the police. Do you think they finally reopened the case?
Yes.
They did. Do you think anyone went down for it?
He was dead already. They killed him and they were like, his mum gets to open the case.
Well, the police opened the case because she has this evidence. She has a confession.
But, like, he's dead and his mum reopens the case.
I think it would have to go to trial because they're going to have to establish whether the other guys were actually complicit. Right?
Yeah.
This is where it's quite clear that two of you are on a crime podcast and one guy's on a food podcast. Because I'm like, yeah, he got fucking taken down. I don't know any of it. And you guys are like, no, technically that couldn't happen.
But yeah, one of the accomplices had died in the interim, but the other two were investigated, arrested, tried, convicted, and jailed.
So who was?
So two of the guys went down for it.
Toto went down.
Luigi went
and
down.
And Demanio.
Demanio.
Did Toto go to prison in Africa? Please say that happened.
There's a rain in everything.
But yeah, so like,
we
so yeah.
We walked across the bridge. We had had 24 glasses of wine.
But
what
yeah,
a song.
So
what a song! There's so many bad lyrics in it, and such a good song.
Have you heard the Weezer version? Because
yes.
It's actually awesome.
It was on the Teal album last year.
Which
very
has
good.
Some sketchy other songs.
Well, they don't really change much about any of the covers they do,
and that's the problem.
They just do it, but like
should have done it Weezer style.
It's fucking great.
I'm sorry.
I think Toto though.
This is interesting though.
I love my
Weezer.
Africa by Toto kind of like proves that it doesn't matter what your lyrics are, as long as your melody is good, it's a good song. So recently, I've got obsessed with Bushes of Love, which is by. So it's a YouTube channel that does poor sync-ups to Star Wars.
Oh, right.
And they did a song called Bushes of Love, and I love it, and the lyrics are bullshit, but the melody is so good that it's like... It's one of my favourite songs now, and it's not about anything.
It's absolutely right.
I love the fact that
we're... Because I don't know the lyrics of Toto. I have no idea what they sing when they hit that high note.
Also, they hadn't been to Africa.
I don't know if they had been to Africa.
No, they definitely hadn't. I saw this thing. He had not been to Africa.
Okay.
And he was like...
And he got paid more than Judy Garland. Like, what a prick.
Yeah.
Paid so much more than Judy Garland.
Hold on. What did he?
I love that. Seriously? This is the thing we've taken from literally a
okay,
I'm
possessed. I'm trying to wine pour myself another drink.
No, really?
Come on, get in.
Should I not do that?
Yeah, no, do it.
We're here for another couple of hours.
We're releasing a special double episode.
How long is each episode?
About 45 minutes.
Where have we even got that? Right. Yeah, where have we got that?
Yeah. So, yeah, so these people were actually arrested, tried, convicted, and jailed. So they went to jail for it because of this possession. But Maria...
Possession of what?
Sorry, it was Toto and...
I don't know, I couldn't find out who were the two.
Sorry,
that
you've already said that.
Adult orientated rock band, but like it's fine.
But apparently Maria...
Luigi.
Luigi was dead.
Okay.
And I don't know who of the two that went, but apparently there were.
Dying and sheep.
No one killed Luigi. Not everyone who dies is killed, is that right?
Yeah, Luigi moved to. Where did he move?
He died of a heart attack.
He moved to Argentina.
So he was dying anyway, he confessed to
everything. And he confessed to everything, and then they tried the other two guys.
He probably had Perea.
Yeah.
Rafe in South America.
Fuck to his eyeballs. Yeah, Perea.
Maria, talking about like shame, she became like when she realized what had happened, she became very shameful and wouldn't leave the house. But then, and she didn't recognize Dr. Scambia, who was the doctor who came to see her. And later, she issued a statement.
Wait, are you all on board with why she's ashamed? Why is she ashamed?
Because she just
there's no memory of accusing all these men of murder.
She was reliving.
So shameful.
Actually, I zoned out, but like. Obviously, when I hear ashamed, I think I agree. But, like, that's just because of Christian stuff. But, like, who was ashamed?
Maria was ashamed that she'd just been reliving this life of a man she had never known.
She didn't think that was... She was like, that's not me.
She felt shameful about it.
But the real source of shame was that was a ruse in collusion with Pepe's father, mother, whatever.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be
It could be. It could be. But apparently the doctor asked her to issue a statement about what had happened. So what she said is, of what has recently occurred, I remember nothing. You may not take my picture, for my boyfriend has forbidden it.
And he owns her.
Do you not like that?
I always forbid stuff like that.
I have never even dreamed of the young fellow who was found dead under the bridge. I never talked to him or knew him. I am 17 years old and my health has always been good. Signed, Maria Tallarico. February 9th, 1939.
Yeah. Fucking 1939.
Wait, I thought it was 9 years later. After the 3 years later, Maria did all the faking. 3 years later, and then 9 years later, the letter happened, and everybody went down for it. So she's not 17; she's 26.
Yeah, but this is 1939 that she did the statement, because that's what happened straight after.
Sorry.
Yeah. She did the statement straight after. She was ashamed then.
Guys, just wanted to show off those math skills because. Although I don't flex those muscles as much as I used to, they're still there.
So basically, as we draw to the end of this, basically she was possessed, and then people went down for it, you know. So what is your final Jerry Springer final thought on it, Katie?
Wait, so she's been like, I'm accidentally predicting all these people that did bad stuff. Oh, wait, I don't think it's true. Now I suddenly don't think it's true.
Okay, you don't think it's true. Okay.
Wait, so she doesn't think it's true. And then suddenly Jerry Springer and they're all beeping it. And then she's like, wait, I don't think it's true.
Maria doesn't think it's true. So Katie doesn't think it's true. And Taylor?
I want to go back to Katie.
I think Katie has more to say.
Yeah.
Taylor?
She was done. I'm like, why are we skimming over people who were done? Like, Katie's not done.
Katie, speak from your heart.
Good
My
advice.
Heart says there's some guilty people here.
Yeah.
Katie's hair is just stuck to her face.
But I'm a Katie immediately on like the world is built
James
around guilt.
Is with me.
So it's all built around what we feel guilty about and what we don't.
Uh huh.
So good and bad is just what we feel guilty about and what we don't feel guilty about.
Yeah. So that proves quite a lot.
Well, okay, I was trying to set you up for something, but like,
I still think Pepe's mama had her suspicions. They always knew who he was with that night, so I think she suspected them naturally. I still think she colluded with this young, impressionable girl. And then it just happened to be that 9 years later, Luigi was like, yeah, I did it, but I'm dead.
Okay. I think that's quite plausible, I think. Mm. James?
I think if you confess something before you're about to die, it's probably true.
Okay.
Like, do you? You don't think it's like a whole, like, I'm just trying to get into heaven thing?
No, because if you're getting to heaven, it's all based on fact, right? Because you think that God knows it.
Okay.
If you believe in heaven, you believe that God's watching everything. So, like, if you're confessing something, you believe it's something that's real. You wouldn't confess to something that's not real to get into heaven.
Okay.
Although, like, I mean, sure, there's the suicide tapes and all that. What's it called? Not the suicide tapes. It's not called that.
Yeah, no, it is called
confession tapes.
Yeah.
There's loads of people that have been forced to confessions that haven't done stuff.
What do you think? Did you believe in the possession?
No.
No. Taylor, do you believe in the possession?
No.
Katie?
So kind of.
Well, on that note, let's say cheers and here's to Mepe. Cheers, everybody.
Is that it?
Mepe! Yeah, cheers!
Yeah, it was.
Drunk women solving crime.
We've got just enough time for a listener crime. So this is for someone from our live show. It was anonymous. Dear drunk women, we went on holiday for my dad's 70th in a luxury log cabin in Sherwood Forest. Last away.
Who goes to Sherwood Forest? Who goes there?
Sherwood Forest.
Is that in Nottingham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that it's Robin Hood shit.
That is a show person right. In Nottingham, Sherwood Forest.
A luxury cabin.
Also, what
for
I like
Dad 70th. Okay.
What I like about this is that's all fucking extraneous as well. Like,
oh, is it? I was like, okay, I'm locked in.
I'm so in this forest. Sorry.
Literally, that was just bragging. But yeah. Whilst away, someone broke into our house and stole my dad's 12 shotguns.
Hello.
Where's this?
Okay, no, England. 12 shotguns.
He's got 12
Who
shotguns.
Has 12 shotguns in the UK.
If he's got 12 shotguns, he deserves it.
There's only like 13 guns in the whole country. I don't know who is this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like most of the guns. This is like what Britain's like defense system. Yeah, yeah. Like
this is Trident.
Yeah. Trident has got robbed and deserves it. Yeah.
We
100%
have
back in that theory.
No more information than it said they stole my dad's 12 shotguns and threw the gun safe from the loft. That's all the information we have. What happened?
That's it.
Well, how nice to meet some posh farmers at our live shows. But that's still pretty fucked up and we do not approve.
That is a posh crime, isn't it? Because that's like fox hunting. Like, that's the only reason you have guns here, right?
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Clay pigeon, maybe?
Clay pigeon.
Bears. This cannot be.
Can't be bears.
Can't be bears.
Do you know what?
Can't be bears.
I'm going to rule out bears as well. I think that's fine.
Thank you for ruling out bears.
But you are right that it's either pheasants or pigeons.
Yeah.
And like, even one of them. So if it's not that.
What is it?
You're a genuine psycho who deserves his gun stolen.
Yes, exactly.
This is Psycho John's 70th birthday. It's all
come. Psycho John.
The actual fuck. Who are you shooting? Why are you shooting? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Could you just have some yoga? Just like calm down.
Yoga is the only word I made out of that last half.
Hang on. Also, that was Katie's head hitting the table. Listeners, there it goes again. This is his 70th birthday and they're renting this cabin, right?
Okay.
Why did they travel with 12 guns? If they belong to his dad.
The dad's they robbed the house back at where they were living.
So they went on holiday.
Oh, I thought they robbed the luxury cabin in Sherwood Forest. You said
even
that was
I
extraneous.
That. I knew that it was the
even
back home
drunk
one.
James, yeah.
Even me. But I still don't think that, like, if you've got 12 guns, like I can see why someone would steal 12 guns.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Sure.
But if you've got 12 guns, it's your own fault, right?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have 12 guns.
What
you don't
are you
need
doing?
Them. You've got them for whatever amendment reasons. Was it Second Amendment?
Yeah, I think they just plead the Second. I think that's what
Do
it
we
is.
Have an amendment here?
Not here.
Taylor,
well, this is in the UK.
On.
You plead the Fifth.
I don't think so.
What's the Fifth?
It means the right to stay silent in things.
What's the right?
I think the Second Amendment, I think, is guns.
I mean, that's a lot of guns for one man.
So much.
So much gun.
So much gun.
Like an American kind of gun.
Cop gun.
So, yeah. What? Anybody want to just hazard a guess? Who do you think stole it?
So
I think it's like your neighbours. Like, here we go full circle again.
The neighbours have pushed
they
the
knew.
Fence
they
down.
Had their eyes on it for a long time and they knew somebody that would pay top dollar pound for some magnums. Pound. Not magnums, because those are a little... I'm not really into guns.
Oh. Is this one solved?
No, this one is just...
it's a whole case, right? It's a whole case.
This is just...
I think it's whoever's phoned in to this
podcast. Oh, okay, so the audience member.
I think always it's whoever's reported it.
Yeah.
How dare you incriminate us?
Huh?
I'm just joking.
Wow, you're like a he who smelt stuff. It, dealt it kind of detective.
If I was a detective, my license would say he smelt and dealt it. Okay, absolutely.
Your tonics!
Yeah.
Well, on that note,
your tonics,
I'm literally
the bucks.
Teaching my child this.
This is
smelt it, dealt it. James Acaster said we did it.
I'm not saying that you three. I'm not saying that everyone on the podcast did it. I said the person who phoned in the podcast did it.
Yeah, the person who wrote the note.
So this was a confession.
But also, do you know what? Also, if in 100 years' time or whatever, there's another podcast or whatever the equivalent is at that point, and they're looking at crimes,
hover
you better believe you guys are getting put under the microscope for whatever. Like, whether you did anything or not, it's going to be like, and then these three, they drew it to everyone's attention.
That's true.
And why did they do that? Yeah, so you're going to be in a lot of like...
That's absolutely true.
On that note, thank you, the person that wrote in. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. It was you. So I hope you're happy with your 12 guns. Yeah. Cheers. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
James, tell us about yourself. I mean, we've really given you this opportunity. So. To come on our podcast.
You're a young, up-and-coming comedian. Tell us what you have going on.
I've got a book out.
It's called
Perfect Sound Whatever. It's about how 2016 was the greatest year for music of all time. And it's also about how
2016 the best year for music of all time?
It was for me.
Do you stand by that?
I stand by it 100%. Okay. There are people who wouldn't, but I do.
But you would stand by it.
And the book is about how it's justifying why it is. And
definitely,
it's also
definitely 100%.
Justifying why 2017, the year after, was the worst year of my life. So like, maybe that's why the best year for music of all time is the best. So who knows? You have to read the book and find out. I also have a podcast called Off Menu with Ed Gamble. And
we
are
famous.
Big fans of this podcast.
Anyone
so, like,
that hears this would have already heard of that. Yeah. We're not going to plug that.
Well,
good help, Katie. Katie's gone for
that's a huge compliment. That's very nice of you. I mean, I don't think that's the case, but like, yeah.
I'm sorry, we do not accept your success.
Maybe.
Unlikely event, man. No one said that.
You don't think you have fans that aren't up,
guys?
Yeah, maybe. All your fans are our fans. That's how it works. Yeah.
Well, on that note, thank you, James O'Kester.
I've done awful things.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.